As we were singing that last song, Revelation song, I just couldn't help but think of Elijah when it says the Lord speaks to Elijah. I just wanted to read it real quick. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, this being Elijah. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars." And he said, "I'd like to see you." And he said, the Lord said, "Go and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came to him a voice and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I think of that song, you know, it gets quiet, and they're singing the part, and then all of a sudden the drums come in, and it comes really loud, and we're into it, and it's great. It's very great, and I love that. And God wants to speak to our hearts, and God wants to change our hearts and change our lives. And regardless if it's through song or through the Word, God is here. And God wants to speak to you, and God wants to have you be different than when you walked in. And I'm excited, and I'm blessed, and I'm privileged to be able to be a part of that. We're privileged to be a part of that. And I want to encourage you this morning, as you just sit here, you would involve yourselves in what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Because I can say a lot of things up here, but it's really the Holy Spirit who's going to impact and change your life. So, got it? Got it. Okay. I'm Pastor Ben Kelly, by the way. I started talking, and I'm like, some people don't even know who I am, and that's probably better that way. I'm the lead pastor over at our Tracy campus, and Pastor Bill and I have swapped the pulpit today, so he's over there speaking, and I'm here speaking. Glenn is here, and Brandon's here, as Paul and some of the guys from the band are over there making music, making melodious sounds to the Lord as well. And I think it's melodious sounds, probably. You think so, Don? Probably melodious sounds, I think, unless Matt's hitting the wrong key, then. I just hung him out to dry. He's not even here to defend himself. It's good to be with you, though. I'm excited to talk and to share with you guys. It was such a privilege last week to walk out of our church service, and there were some gentlemen there, and they made us food. And so I know after Sunday mornings, I'm starving. I don't know about you guys, but after a while, I'm like, man, I'm so ready to eat. And sometimes I'm bummed because maybe I'm just showing how lazy I am sometimes. I don't even want to make my food. I just wish I could come home and have it made. And we walked out last week after service, and it was already made for us. We had tri-tips, we had hot dogs, we had potato chips, we had potato salad. Am I right, Joe? Am I missing anything else? Rob, what's that? Macaroni salad and chili. We had shrimp and caviar. No, we didn't have those things, but it was amazing. Unbelievable food. So thank you for doing that, you guys. I appreciate it. All our people in Tracy, they're doing great. They're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And we're excited to be with them each week. They really, they're amazing. Even this morning as I kind of left, I'm like, I got to go. I'll see you guys next week. And I think I mentioned before, they're like, okay, see ya. And I think I miss them more than they miss me, I'm sure. But that's okay. Pastor Bill shared with me about a month ago what the series is going to be for this morning. I was pretty excited about that. And I got to share with him, okay, well, Pastor, you're talking about some of our adventures. We are talking about the gospel. And matter of fact, Bill, the week you're supposed to be here, you have to talk about giving. So Pastor Bill's over there, and he gets to talk about giving, which is pretty exciting. And here I get to talk about summer adventures, which is a great thing. But in reality, giving is not a difficult thing to talk about because we give because God's given to us. And the fact that we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ into our hearts, it's a natural thing to give in response to that love. So I assured him that even though he gets the task of speaking about giving, I'll make sure to mention it here. So give. How's that? Did I mention it? Okay. Should I say it another time, Steve? Okay. Steve said give. All right. Two times I mentioned it. Summer Adventures. That's the series that we're on. My kids and I sometimes watch these shows where there are these people who do amazing things. They travel all around, and they jump off things. They call this base jumping. How many of you guys have heard of base jumping before? Anybody base jumped in here? Is there anybody who's done base jumping? Okay. We have intelligent people here. People who want to keep their feet on the ground. Good, good. I didn't realize this, but BASE is actually an acronym. I was online and doing different studying as the week went by. And you can see some of these guys base jumping off here. But base jumping is the sport of using a parachute to jump from fixed objects. BASE is actually an acronym, which stands for the four categories of objects that people can jump off of. Can you imagine doing that? Look at that. Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to say. I wouldn't be able to pull the chute. You know, I'd freak out so much. And I'd freeze, and then I'd be down on the ground. Anyways, you can jump off certain objects. Number one would be a building, an antenna, a span, and earth. Okay? I didn't realize this, but you can actually plan your own summer vacation to base jump. And I thought, this is perfect with our summer adventure series. If you go online, I noticed... You guys ever checked out eHow? It tells you how to do anything. You know, eHow helps you do it. You can change your brakes. You can do this or that. They have an eHow of how to plan extreme vacation base jumping. And so I decided to print it out and read to you guys. There's only four steps when it comes to base jumping. Listen to these four steps and you should be okay to do it. Number one, all prerequisites for base jumping. Base jumpers should already be experienced skydivers and have strong free fall skills, canopy skills, a thorough knowledge of how to deal with all possible malfunctions. You should also be proficient at packing a parachute because most base parachutes have no reserve. Got number one? Okay. That's an easy step, I thought, number one. Number two, learn as much as possible about base jumping. Try to meet people in your area that are already experienced base jumpers so you have someone to jump with and learn from after your training. Number three, take a first jump course, okay? And number four, it says contact the company that you choose for specific requirements, equipment and information and accommodations. Be sure, and honest to goodness, it says this. It really says this on how to plan this vacation. Be sure to pack extra underwear and you will have a vacation that cannot be matched by any other. All right, pretty unbelievable, I thought. Unbelievable. So that being said, I've been wanting to teach on a passage of Scripture for a long time. And I think it's great. I think it goes along with summer adventures. But I've decided to title this lesson, Base Jumping with Eutychus. Base Jumping with Eutychus. I don't know if you've read about Eutychus before. It's a short passage in the book of Acts. You may not have even heard of him before. And if that's you, then I'm excited for you this morning because it's a great passage of Scripture. And I've been looking for an excuse to teach on it, and today is that day. But let me read it from you, Acts chapter 20, and this is from the New International Version. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Now, I know this is a very rudimentary form of base jumping here, but you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And like I was saying last hour, NASA didn't land a guy on the moon the first try. Okay, they had baby steps. And this is kind of the baby steps into base jumping. Okay, and as a disclaimer, if you are going to go base jumping, I'm not a professional. So don't take my advice and say, "Well, Pastor Ben told me I'm good to go." And don't do it from a three-story window because you will not have time to pull your chute. And it won't open up by the time you hit the ground, okay? So don't go trying that. Just don't. Don't do it, okay? All right. Now, you may read this passage and think, okay, Ben, where are we going to go with this? How much information can you really pull out of this passage? Well, there is quite a bit of information that's in this passage. Some great stuff. And I think it's important for us, especially in the summer months, I think this is an appropriate passage for us to look over. So we're going to walk through it, and we're going to try to hear what God has to share with us. So we're going to start right at verse 7. Here we go. Let me read it one more time. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. It says, on the first day of the week. Did you know that in the book of Acts, this is the first mention of believers meeting on the first day of the week? Do you know why that's important? Because up until this time, up until Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday, believers had not met on the first day of the week. They started meeting on this first day of the week, Sunday, because they were meeting because Jesus rose from the dead on that Sunday as well. They were celebrating what he did. Matter of fact, if you read apologetic books, the one thing that people try to discount is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. This is actually one out of about 10 or 11 proofs that people use to say that the resurrection did take place. Because the disciples began at that time meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week. Matter of fact, your being here today on a Sunday illustrates the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You are doing the same thing that these people in Troas were doing. So when it says on the first day of the week, it just wasn't some random day or him just trying to give you an idea of when they were meeting. He was doing it for a purpose, to show the fact that Jesus really did rise from the dead. They came together to break bread. They were having communion. All right, that's what communion was, the Lord's Supper, the bread, the wine. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. They were meeting in the evening time. And this was because in that time when they were under Roman rule, they didn't have their days off like the Jewish people did. They didn't have days off during the week, and they would work. And so they had to work often on Sundays. But they still got together and met to talk about the things of the Lord. It makes me think of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I appreciate each week the people that come on Sunday mornings, and you guys being here today. I know it's a struggle to wake up and to get going, and I hear the struggles from my wife and other wives who have children, and they have to gather up all their things when it's been a rough morning, but they still get them here to church, because they know it's important. And these believers, these first believers in Troas, they knew it was important to meet together. And so they made it a point to be there that evening. And Paul talked on and on. Pastors sometimes like to use that to bolster the argument to where they can talk longer and longer and longer. People just have to deal with it. The point that I see in that is that Paul had a great concern for the believers there to learn about what does it mean to walk for the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And so he kept on talking until midnight. Luke then says in verse 8, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Here Luke, who's the author of this book, who also wrote the book of Luke, mentions the fact that there were lamps keeping the room lit. And then notice the "we" that he has here, signifying the fact that Luke was an eyewitness to what was taking place. He was traveling with Paul on the journeys that he was taking. Some commentators extrapolate from this verse that Luke was trying to write this down so that people will understand that this is why Eutychus fell asleep, because of all the lamps that were going and the fire dancing back and forth. Who knows if that was the reason why he fell asleep. But verse 9 says, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul talked on and on, he was sound asleep. He fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. I like it how it says, and Paul talked on and on, on and on. And Eutychus fell into a deep sleep. He wasn't nodding off like some of you guys are doing now. He sank into a deep sleep. I mean, he was out. So much so, I mean, he didn't wake up. It was a deep sleep, man. He didn't wake up until Paul went down there. It's interesting to notice that it says he was picked up dead. Some people argue that Eutychus didn't really die. He nearly had the wind knocked out of him. I've never fallen out of a three-story window, but I think I'd have more than the wind knocked out of me. But one of the things that's interesting is, remember we said, Luke said, we. And it's important to understand that Luke was there because Luke's job, Luke was a physician. And if anybody knew if Eutychus was dead or not, it would be Luke, because he was a physician. And it goes on in verse 10, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said, he's alive. I cannot help but think of what Paul was thinking at this moment. The guy falls out the window while he's teaching. What do you do? I mean, do you stop teaching at that point? I mean, it says Paul went down there. I imagine Paul like, oh my gosh, let's go down here. Man, Lord, I hope he's alive. But he wasn't. He wasn't alive. And Paul restored life to him. Well, God restored life to Eutychus through the person of Paul. And that's an interesting point as well, because people being restored to life was something that would happen both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's important as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, you'll see it on the screen, says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, Jesus and the disciples. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That in verse there, 4, is talking about how when the new covenant comes, when Jesus accomplishes what he came to accomplish and the Holy Spirit is given, Acts chapter 2 and on, God's going to show his power, demonstrating that he has done what he came to do. And the fact that Paul right here restores life to Eutychus really talks about this verse, proves this verse. It's interesting to notice that in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha both restored someone to life. Jesus and his ministry on the earth restored three people to life. But what's also interesting is that two more people in the New Testament, just like two in the Old Testament, restored someone to life. Here, Paul with Eutychus, but then Peter restored life to Tabitha, signifying that there is a new covenant going on. There is something new. The Holy Spirit is here, and Jesus has accomplished that. So this is an important thing that happens, that Paul does restore life back to this young man. And then you have verses 11 to 12. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I think that's fun, you know. Then they went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. This is not communion again, but this is a meal that would often accompany communion. Just think of that whole night, the events unfolding. Having a great time. You know, learning about Jesus and what he's accomplished. Boom, dude falls out of the window. Oh, man, this really messed things up. I still had like 6 more points to go. Then they restore him to life and everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. Let's go eat. And then they go and eat. And then Paul talks until daylight. He talks until daylight. I guess if you're going to talk all night long, you better do something miraculous, huh, to keep people's attention, okay? Oh, he restored him to life. I'm paying attention to the rest of the message. There you have the passage. Let me add one more thing. Do you know what Eutychus' name means? Fortunate. Indeed he was, huh? Fortunate. Fortunate that Paul was there and God decided to do a miracle. So what does it mean for you today? So what? Ben, why would you talk about these things? Why would you include it with base jumping? As I was reading about base jumping, the summer adventures, there was a few cautions, and I thought they were quite humorous, quite apt probably to the sport of base jumping. It says, number one, always seek proper training and mentoring before attempting any sort of base jumping. Those are wise words, aren't they? I imagine if I'm going to start base jumping, I am going to talk and listen to someone as if my life depended on it. Because you know what? It would depend on it. It really would. And I think in our spiritual lives, at times, we need to seek proper training and mentoring. Eutychus at times gets a bad shake about falling asleep. Perhaps it was deserving that he fell out of the window. Perhaps it was not. Maybe he was working a long day, had a double shift he was pulling. Yet he was there listening to Paul, trying to listen to him. The people in Troas, Eutychus at that time, they were seeking out proper training and mentoring. They had the opportunity to listen to the Apostle Paul teach them. And they took that opportunity to listen. Paul was the man. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, perhaps the greatest missionary ever. And they took advantage of that time. Are you seeking out that training, that mentoring? I bet if you decided to go base jumping, you probably would, wouldn't you? If I told you, you're going base jumping tomorrow or skydiving tomorrow, you'd find out whatever you could. Unfortunately, I don't think we do that when it comes to our spiritual walk with Christ all the time. We find the best financial consultants in our life, the best coaches, the best clinics for our kids and their sports, the best schools for our kids to go to, the best tutoring sites for our kids to learn, the best diets, the best workouts, the best medicines, but oftentimes we don't seek out the best spiritual mentor or trainer in our life. We settle for second best. We settle for what we heard as children. What we hear our pastor talk about on Sunday mornings, and we use that for the only thing. Or we take what our parents told us when we were little, and that should suffice, we think, in our minds. Listen, the greatest spiritual mentor, trainer in your life is the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. But the Helper, this is Jesus talking, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The Holy Spirit's come to glorify Jesus, to illuminate his work. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Listen, the greatest teacher that you have is the one living within you, the one who's able to direct your feet in your life in the way that it should go. And you can find out about what God talks about in his word right in here. Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you memorize it? Do you meditate on it? Learn it. Fall in love with the word. You've heard people talk about this all the time. But do you read it on your own? Don't just take my word for it. I remember the first time as a young man reading the Bible and then God teaching me something from it. And I was like, wow, God can actually teach me something through this. It doesn't have to be a pastor teaching me all the time. It doesn't. You can pick this up and understand it and read it. Is it hard work? Yeah, it's hard work. It's hard work doing everything in life. For some reason, we don't mind doing it the other things, but when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't always give it our all. Listen, you need to. You need to. Second thing, this is another caution that they had, and I thought this to be really encouraging when I read this. Let's see if you think it's as encouraging as I do when it comes to base jumping. Base jumping is a highly dangerous sport that can easily injure and kill participants. All right, get better. Listen, think long and hard before making a base jump. It actually said this on the website, okay? We do not recommend base jumping to anybody. You and you alone are responsible for your safety. Doesn't that make you want to sign up right now for base jumping? Okay, I'm completely sold to jump off an antenna now. But think of this caution and the story of Eutychus and him out of this window. It makes me think of Ecclesiastes 9:10, one of my favorite verses ever. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might, for in the grave where you're going, there's neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom. Base jumping does not seem to be a I guess I'll try it sort of sport. I imagine you must have all your wits about you. You must be fully committed. And the same must be said of our Christian life. We are not called to live I guess I'll try living for Jesus today. I guess I'll give him a shot. Why not? You know, God sent him to this earth for me. It's an all-in life. And we must have our wits about us every single day. Especially on these days. Especially when you're here. Because you have the opportunity to minister to someone, the opportunity to encourage someone. One of the greatest things I appreciate about our folks so far over in Tracy is when they show up on Sundays, they're on it. I don't have to remind them and say, now, okay, everybody, listen, today's an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with every person. They walk in and they know it. They walk in and they see, this is an opportunity for me to meet the needs of another person who walks in through this door. Not just walking in, can you feed me, please? Can you teach me about the Bible? They're there to impact other people. I see it here. It's encouraging. We need to be all in. And then lastly, do you know the people of Troas, they witnessed that night something miraculous. What's the main thing that this passage teaches me, why I tied it into base jumping, is because they're both amazing things. Jumping off an antenna, although I'd probably never do it, it's amazing. When I watch that dude jump off that antenna and he's free falling to the ground, man, that looks cool. It looks cool to watch. And you know what? We have the opportunity, just as the people in Troas did, to witness the amazing, to witness the miraculous. Every Sunday, we have the opportunity to witness the miraculous. Every day, for that matter, we have that opportunity. You may think, but Ben, God doesn't do things like that anymore. I don't see him opening up the ground or restoring people back to life or parting the waters anymore. You see God do something far more miraculous than that. Do you know what it is? It's forgiving people of their sins and giving them life eternal. That's the most amazing miracle that God can do, that God still does. He gives them grace, something that they do not deserve. Matter of fact, did you know this story of Eutychus represents the gospel? Think about it. Here's Eutychus, fortunate one, falls asleep, just as we at times fall asleep to the things of the Lord. Before we knew the Lord, our eyes were closed to what God was doing. Yet out of God's great love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to us at just the right time when we were powerless, unable to do anything. Just as Eutychus lied there dead, powerless, unable to do anything. And Paul could have left him there and said, you see that young punk, he deserved to fall out the window. And people probably would have been like, yeah, well, you're right. But Paul, because of the grace of God, restored life to him. Just as Jesus came at just the right time when we were powerless to do anything about it and gave us life and life to the full. That's the gospel. You know, from that little passage, we don't have to jump off an antenna to see the miraculous. We can see it every single day. But let me ask you another question. Perhaps God needs to do the miraculous right now in your life. Some of you may have heard about Jesus, about what God has done, but I'm here to tell you today that God does love you. That God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to be buried in a tomb, and then raised from the dead. And he did that so that you, who are unable to fix the condition of sin which separates you from God, he did that so that you can receive life and receive it eternally. And perhaps today is that day when you witness the miraculous by saying, God, I believe that you sent your son as a cure for my sin. Come into my life. Make me the person you want me to be. But perhaps there's another miraculous thing that needs to take place as well for those of you who do know Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're in the I guess I'll try it sort of stage. God's not calling us to be, I guess I'll try it. God's wanting your all. And perhaps today, this July, 21st, 2013, will be the day when you say, God, you have my all in. And when you say jump, I'll jump. Perhaps today is that day. Eutychus means fortunate. We are fortunate that God has loved us so much. Out of his great love, he has given us life. No one is here by mistake today. You hear that all the time, don't you? You're here by design. You're here by design to hear this message, which God wants you to hear, to change your life, to make you different than when you walked in. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I'm so grateful as far as what you do in our life, the way you use your word to encourage us, to challenge us, and to change us. And I pray, Lord, that there are those today, Lord, who are contemplating whether or not to to accept your Son as your Lord and Savior, God, at this very moment, God, you would draw them. That irresistible grace would be unable to fight against anymore. Lord, you are a good and loving God, and we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are going to do. For the work that you're doing within our churches, that is a blessing to be a part of. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad you guys are with us today. We appreciate you guys. I know I speak for Glenna and Brandon and myself. We miss you guys. We really do. Each Sunday, we think about what you guys are doing here. Some Sundays more than others, for sure. But we pray for you guys on a weekly basis, and I'd ask that you guys would do the same for us. It's exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing, because we do witness the miraculous. And so I pray that you would walk out of here today and this week, you would make it your goal to continue witnessing the miraculous, because God is in control, and that's what God would like to see take place. Anyways, have a great day. Make sure to give someone a hug on your way out, and we will be talking with you. Thanks.